You know, studying the tarot, studying anything is wonderful, but also doing it will help you learn it. So do it, play with it, do it with other people, do readings for people, do readings for yourself. You know, just keep throwing those cards down, okay? All right, so let's, we are going to go into intuitive reading. Let me get to that. Okay. Yeah, I have the universal weight. I actually use my husband's deck. He's in spirit, and I was looking at it, and the colors just aren't the same as the original, which is the intention, but some of the ones that are subtle, they should try to keep. Okay, let me know where we're going here. Okay, so that list that we did, let's go back to that list. Okay, we're going to actually start to read the cards this way. Now, does everybody have a partner? Okay. And you guys, if you want to sit next to each other, that's fine. In my office, I have a person sit next to my desk. Of course, they're facing me, you know, rather than next to me at the same, looking at the same angle. But it's up to you to point out when you have someone opposite you that you start, they see all the things upside down, then you see them. So you have to point out this is in relative to my perspective. So this card that's upside down is really right side up and vice versa and so on. So, yes, Cindy.
Are we mixing them all up and shuffling?
Yes, I want you to mix them all up and shuffle them. And then tonight when you go home, do some readings first from friends. That's your homework, is to do a minimum of 2 or 3 readings every night, and that's a minimum. You can do as many 20 as you want. But then you'll need caffeine tomorrow. Yeah, no, yeah. Unless you want to exclusively read upright cards, mix them up so they're up and down and just... We're going to do a number of them and I'm going to lead you through the process, okay? We're going to be doing intuitive perceptions, we're going to be doing psychometry and emotional telepathy. Okay, we don't have to make this our job. We can just shuffle a little bit. When I'm doing phone clients, I have to shuffle for the clients. And I don't stop until I have a compelling time to stop. And sometimes I think I'm taking too much time. I want to get this done with. And then I stop early and I said, no, I can't do that. And then I do one more. Because, you know, you're shuffling for the clients when they're on the phone, obviously. So but if what I do to help move the energy through the phone wires is I ask them to say all of their names out loud while I'm shuffling. Sometimes they repeat it. Sometimes they just say it once, but at least say it one time so that it kind of gets their energy into the room and into the cards. So, okay, so what we're going to do before, yes, we have partners here. We're going to do that in a few minutes. Yes? Oh, when I do phone consultations. And they're not in the room to shuffle the cards themselves. See, I do phone consultations. I do mediumship first, and then I'll actually add the cards to it. Unless it's a half hour, then I often don't get to the cards because it's all, you know, ends up being mediumship. But in order to get them into the shuffle, I tell them to say their names while I'm shuffling. So, okay. I forgot that I didn't give you this handout yet. And I'm getting tangled up again. Let me see. Okay, we have one more handout.
So Sharon, while I'm shuffling, I'm having some intrepidation about just really shuffling because half of them will be upside down.
And that's fine. That's fine.
But all the upside down guys are like bad news.
No. No, even in the pentacles, you saw the 4 of pentacles reversed was better. The 6 of pentacles reversed is better. And just to let you know, the word is trepidation. Being intrepid means you're fearless. Having trepidation means you're concerned and a little afraid. Just to let you know, not... Okay. Okay. What? I missed a joke. Am I being too mom-like for correcting?
Mom was in the room, weren't you?
No, but we do want to, you know, we're acting as teachers, even to our own individual clients. We want to get all that stuff right. And we do want to, now, when I'm going to... We are actually going to do readings for ourselves first. I'm going to take you through a process, yes, but it's not going to be readings like a whole spread. It's we're going to practice these different types of readings. And we're just going to, actually the first thing we're going to do is take one card, okay? So just shuffle and then cut. Now, I was taught to cut three times, making four piles, you know? Four piles. Three cuts, four piles. You know, one cuts, two cuts, three piles, three cuts are four piles. You can only, actually, if you want to, only do one cut. But I like to cut the cards just to put an extra kind of spin into the energy. So okay, so you're all shuffled. So the first thing, we're not going to do this. We studied pentacles this morning, but we're going to do this. We're going to be, I'm going to be taking you through a process. So leave the cards face down, and if you want to, and we'll cover the intuitive handout in just a minute, but because we're going to do this first, bless you. Okay, so what I want you to do, what we're going to do, don't do it yet, but what we're going to do, the first process that we're going to do is we're going to pick up a card. Now you can pick up the top card, you can kind of fan them out and pick a card in the middle, or you can just make a cut and see which card you get. And then once you pick that card, you're going to look at the card, but not at the picture. In other words, you're going to let your imagery and your sensing start to click and trigger intuitive perceptions. Okay? Now the intuitive perception could be thematically like the card, or it may not be. But I don't want you to speak to what the card theme is yet. Okay? We're doing intuition. So I want you to look at the picture and is in general, and just kind of close your eyes and get the first intuitive thought you have. If you're clairvoyant, get an image. If you're clairaudient, get a word, or perhaps even a name. And if you're clairsentient, telepathically get a concept or an idea. Have a notebook next to you so you can write this down, okay? Write down your perception. Then I'm going to immediately take you into an intuitive response to a detail within the card. And so once you close your eyes, get an intuitive perception, write it down, then open your eyes. I'm going to say, notice what detail in the card compels you, okay? And you will be drawn to a specific detail, okay? And it could be something as totally mundane as somebody's big toe. I don't care what the detail is, but the detail, whatever detail you're drawn to, will have purpose. Did somebody have a hand back there? Did you have a...
Do you always flip it like a book instead of, you know, how some people...
Oh, she asked you, flip it like a book, which is sideways, or flip them over. It's funny because in the Wheel of Fortune, you flip the past and the future over, and you flip the present sideways.
Oh, wow. Different spreads have different...
Most people just flip them over. But I learned with the Wheel of Fortune that depending upon the time, you know, past is going away from you, future you're moving toward. Actually, whether you flip it this way or flip it that way, it still ends up the same way. And present is right with you, so that's why you turn it this way. So, but it's whatever you guys like. In all other types of reading, I flip it over. When I'm doing a yes-no spread, when I'm doing an outcome spread, I just flip it over. But just be consistent with whatever one you want. What's that?
She said, what do you do? I said, I normally just flip it to
Flip it to the side. Okay. Yeah, it's entirely up to you. Okay. In the Wheel of Fortune, that element of time will help with the flipping thing. So, but, and again, any way you want to pick it, too, any way you want to pick it out. So after that, I'm going to draw your attention to, or have your intuition compel you to notice one detail. And as you're noticing that detail, I want you to see what intuitively means to you right off the bat. And then I want you to let that detail get animated and let it tell you a story, just like an animated symbol in mediumship, okay? And so that'll be the intuition, okay? The psychometry, we're actually going to start with the psychometry, okay? We're going to start with the card face down and place our hand on the card and feel what we get. And then take some notes about it in your notebook, okay? All right? Now here's the thing. A lot of times you will get something psychometrically different than what the card reads. Don't say, oh shit, I screwed up, or oh shoot, I screwed up. I was wrong, okay? Don't just say, oh, you know, I really messed that up, I must not be that psychic. That's not true. You will get psychically something, a totally different thing than the cards, because you need to get that psychically, all right? All right, so we're going to start off with the psychometry. And then we're going to, it's of the unknown card, so it's upside down. And then once we turn it over, we're going to touch it and feel if we feel anything new. And with the touching of it, knowing what the card is, okay? And then we'll go on to the intuitive, then we'll go on to the emotions. Now the emotions is the emotional feeling of the card, not just what's on the people's faces, because the people's faces are, can be emblematic of what it means, but what's emotionally feeling about the action? How do you feel? Do you feel excited? Do you feel nervous? Do you feel sad? Do you, about the whole card in general, okay? What the emotional is experienced, your emotional experience by looking at the card. Then we're going to open our heart chakras and let the emotion of the card come into our heart center. And some of you, and we can try this, and you, I want you to try it, you can actually lay that card on your heart chakra and see what stirs inside your heart chakra, okay? But I'm going to take you through this. But I don't want you trying to remember the message that you got. That's why I want you to have a notebook so you can write down the images and that type of thing. And then we're going to do the action or the story of the card. Okay, so everybody pick a card and leave it down, face down. And just leave it in front of you. Take a deep breath and place your hand on the card, whatever hand you'd like. Usually the left hand can be, is the yin hand or the receiving hand. But if you'd prefer the right hand, that's fine, whatever you want to do. And just let your hand rest on the card and close your eyes for a minute and feel an emotional vibration and see if any images come to mind and write them down. Any images or ideas. And indeed, I want you to make something come to your mind. You're not allowed not to get anything. If you're not getting anything, you're in your left brain saying, what am I supposed to get? If you think of a top, if you think of a lake, even if you just were outside looking at the lake, that's not a coincidence, okay? Let your mind work for you. Okay, take any last notes that you feel about this card. I want to see everybody writing. You're not allowed to not get anything. We don't have time to hesitate and be in our left brain and stop ourselves. Nobody has time for that, ever. Okay, and we'll talk more about that in just a second. Okay, so everybody have something? Have an experience? Okay, now turn the card over. And however you turn it, upside or right side up, is how it's supposed to be. And now put your hand on it as you know what it is and feel what you get without looking at it. Put your hand over it and feel what you get, even though you know what it is. And get an image or an emotion or an idea or a word and write down what you get. Be spontaneous. Okay, let yourself finish that up. finish writing. And now just take a look at the whole card. Take a look at the whole card and feel what intuitive perception comes to mind. Make yourself get a word. What's the first word you would get from that psychically or intuitively? And write down your first word. And let yourself get a symbol. Just see what's the first symbol you get. It doesn't have to be thematically connected to the card. All right? Your intuition will give you more. And let yourself get any kind of feeling or any other intuitive thought that you have about that card. Okay, finish up your writing. And close your eyes again now, keeping that card in front of you just the way it is. Close your eyes again. And just center yourself. And in a second, I'm going to have you open your eyes and you're going to look at that card and you're going to be compelled to one little detail, or it could be a big detail, but one specific item in that card. Right now, open your eyes, look at the card, see which little detail or which part of the card compels you to notice it. Write down what that is and notice what you feel about it. What does that detail mean to you? Even if you just see a flower, something's flowering, something's blossoming, that's fine. Write that down. If you see a flower that's closed, however it is, and get the intuition of what that means, that one detail. Now, as you're looking at that detail, I want you to give your imagination the job. And I want you to close your eyes, bring that detail into your mind's eye. Or into, if you're not visual, you're not clairvoyant, then just bring the idea into your mind. And however that experience is for you, I want you to notice that detail, and I want it to start become animated. I want that detail to start being animated, move, change, grow, be shifted, come in contact with another symbol. It starts to tell you through its animation, its movement, its changing, an idea, a little story, just in its own. Write about that. And just let the animation of that symbol tell you any kind of metaphor or story, and write about what it tells you. And then bring yourself back. Finish up your writing. Okay, let yourself finish that up now and bring your awareness back to the card. Take a look at this card again. And what are the emotions in the card? Yes, you can consider the emotions of the people, but how does the card make you feel? That picture, that image? Happy, sad, hesitant? Excited, whatever it is that the card in its imagery, in its depiction, how it makes you feel. And write down any last thing now about the emotional quality, the emotional story of the card. Finish that up now. And now I'd like you to pick up the card and put it against your heart center. place it against your heart center and open your heart chakra. Close your eyes and open your heart chakra. And let the emotional energy of this card flood into you. And you might feel differently than what you just thought was in the picture of the card. That's fine and indeed natural. Just feel the emotional energy of this card. And notice how it makes you feel. Notice what energy and emotions are flooding into you. Be sensitive to that. Make yourself get an emotion and write down what you're feeling. Okay, when you feel done with that, you can put the card down again. Let yourself finish writing that up. And now I want you to look at the card again. And this card, I want you to imagine that what's taking place in this card, even if there's no, quote, apparent action, if it doesn't seem like an active card, I want you to imagine the story or what the action tells you of this card. Imagine that this card is a chapter in a book, and it has a beginning and a middle and an end. What would that chapter be to you? Write that story now, even just a couple of sentences. This card has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Okay, let yourself finish that up now. Finish that all up. Everybody's getting into their stories. Which just shows how much one card can tell you. Okay, let's wrap that up. Okay, now what I want you to do is read and expand on while you're reading all the information that you've just received, as if you were getting information from yourself to yourself in a reading, and see how it applies to your life. What are all the messages you just got? Some part might apply to your work life, some might apply to your physical well-being, some might apply to your love life. Just see all the messages that you just got. And if something comes to you while you're reading, let's see what it tells you. If an intuition comes to you while you're reading, What does that added piece come tell you? Okay, so come on back. How did that, did it give you messages? Did it give you insights? Okay, what, Debbie, what? What, you said maybe, maybe not?
I couldn't get a lot, but I think I understand it.
Okay.
First of all, it's the major arcana, and I don't translate them too well, but I think it's
You don't Saturn. Have to translate anything. We're doing intuition, emotional, story.
Okay, Saturn. Okay. This represents Saturn to me. It represents limitations.
Is Saturn there?
No.
Okay.
And it was upside down. And so I see it as a box, limitations. I connected it with my job and authority. And
okay.
A lot of...
A loss of authority? Or not having the authority you need?
Restrictions. A lot of restrictions.
Okay.
Being boxed in.
Okay.
Having a very tightly circumscribed...
What did you feel emotionally when you touch it to your heart?
Restricted.
Okay.
Restricted.
All right. Okay. How anybody else? Did it feel like it... So you did get some stuff that was relative to your life?
Yes, I think
okay.
so.
Okay. Okay. Anyone not get stuff that was relative to your life? Okay. Anyone have... Yes?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
You know, I told you this card was always disturbing.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to get intuitively into it, and I liked what you had told me it meant for the Pentacles. But I'm seeing somebody who has a problem physically when I look at this card, if I just look at it intuitively.
Is that the part that you were compelled to see in terms of the little bit?
The little bit was the foot. I was really, moot, and I thought, well, gee, maybe this person has had difficulty walking, moving forward.
That was the foot that you were drawn to. So you were drawn to the one good foot.
Well, I didn't know if it was good or not, because to me it looks barefoot and walking in the cold snow.
Well, he might be walking in the cold snow, but you didn't get drawn to the foot that's all taped up and that he can't put his weight on.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
Okay.
I said I'm intuitively trying to...
So what I want to tell you and what that story says, she was drawn, she got the Five of Pentacles, and she was drawn to the... she was drawn to the foot that was good. Now, this card means for her... In a general way, disability and injury and that type of thing,
right.
Disturbing. Okay, but of all the things you could have been drawn to, the bandage on his head, his foot that didn't work, the crutches, all of that, the tatters in the clothes, you got drawn to the foot that was active and moving. So what does that tell you? Anybody?
Optimistic.
What's that?
An optimistic.
Optimistic, even if things are down, even if there seems to be some kind of difficulty, even if there's some kind of hesitance in our step, we still can focus on the good thing that we can do, the good step that we can take. Mm-hmm. Does that, you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's no accident you were brought to the good foot. Okay? And indeed, Spirit's trying to bring you to a new, maybe perhaps even sense of the card by showing you the good stuff in the card. You see? Right? okay, but maybe, right? Yes.
Or maybe she's worried she has to really take good care of that good foot because something's going to happen to her.
Yes, if we want to look at it that way, we can. So, anybody else have any challenges? Yes?
Oh, no challenge.
Well, go ahead.
I just want to share my excitement because I have the Nine of Swords.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, excellent. So you see that you can get different layers of meanings in this different way. Now, when you give a full-length reading, you're not going to use this process with every single card. You just won't have the time to do it, okay? But this is how we're starting this week, just to do some of the readings, okay? So what I want you to do now is partner up with somebody, and we're going to do this. We're going to do this one first. Okay, and this is A and B, and then this one second, okay? And this is A and B. And this one third. And this is A and B. And this one fourth.
The process we just did, we're going to do.
Yes. I'm not going to take you through it. You're going to do it with your partner. Your partner is going to pick a card, okay? Your partner is going to pick a card. And this time, everybody, stop talking. This time, instead of writing things down, you're going to share with your partner what you're getting at that time, okay? And no partnering with somebody you know really well, okay? You don't know him at all. Stop talking, please. Let's get all our questions asked so we can listen, Cindy.
Are we doing one at a time?
Yes, you're going to do one at a time. A is going to, okay, the left side of the table is going to be A. And you can be the left side. And A is going to read first, and then the right side of the table is going to read to their partner. Okay, so this side's going to read first, that side's going to read first, and this side's going to read first. Yes, Lucinda.
So when he reads me, he uses his cards. Do I shuffle his
Yes, he
cards?
Uses his cards.
But do I shuffle his?
No, you can pick one. You don't need to. You can shuffle your own cards and then fan it out, or just lay it out, or fan it out on the table and tell them to pick one. Okay? So you use your own cards, because that's what you use when you do a reading, is your cards. Okay? And then you go through this process and take your time with it. Oh, wait one second, you guys. Wait. Time out. I want you to get the handout that I just handed out, because I forgot to talk about it. Okay? And so for those of you that aren't in my mediumship or intuition classes, I want to talk about this. Okay? Okay, so in an intuitive reading, in the intuitive part, okay, the intuitive part doesn't really belong to the cards unless part of the symbol triggers an intuition, okay? But what is required is for you to stay out of your left brain, where you analyze and judge and your ego talks to you and keeps you busy not getting anything and wondering if what you're getting is right, and you stay in your right brain and you give your imagination the job. Because imaging and imagination all belong to the right brain, and that's where spirit talks to us through, okay? When you create the intention to find out deeper insights by using the cards, then even insights that lie beyond the bend of time, you know, because we also get future things from the cards, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to your higher self. It's an invitation to spirit. It's an invitation to your partner's spirits. And an invitation that the energies in the world of energy, in the realms of energy, and it's inviting them, I want to get insight. And you're telling the universe that through your action. And so you invite all these sources to come together and converge and give you all different ways to get insight, including the cards. But then if you get an intuitive insight and you don't trust it, and you don't say it, and you withhold yourself from it because you're in your left brain judging, valuing, well, geez, I don't know, I am seeing a piece of dirt. That must not be important. Why would I say I'm seeing dirt on the floor? Why am I saying dirt on the floor? Why? I'm not going to say anything like that. It doesn't matter. Okay, but there's a message and a metaphor with that, or it could be literal, okay? So, but if you don't say what you get, if you don't trust everything you get and share what you get, you're telling the universe that you just invited to participate and give you this information. No, I really don't want the information. Thank you very much. That was all a lie. Go away. I'll just pretend to want the information. You see, we can't give the universe, the guides, the spirit world, our own spirit, a double message by saying, I want this insight, but I'm going to disregard it because what? Because it comes from me? What the heck does that say to the universe? Well, anybody else's insight is fine, but not mine, thank you very much. My insight isn't valid. No, we don't want to give that message to ourselves or to anyone else, so we get open ourselves to every even subtlest piece of information. We trust every piece of information, and we share every piece of information with a sense of due diligence, okay? All right. Now, some of the intuition that you get, and we're going through this handout pretty quickly because I want you guys to get to practice. But some of the information that you get is going to be thematically connected to the cards. Okay? For instance, I have gotten the Tower card and gotten intuitive insights once I got lightning hitting a tree next to somebody's house. I got the Tower card and said, your second, there's going to be a fire or an electrical fire on your second floor. And all of these came true. And, well, one of them I got, and I saw a lineman being electrocuted on the pole. That had already happened, but he hadn't told me that. So those are thematically connected to the tower because there's lightning in the tower. So that's electricity and lightning, right? But it may not have anything to do with the theme, okay? I remember getting the tower and getting an intuition, you're going to lose your job very suddenly. And she did. And it's just, you know, being the tower of the people, that's the one falling out of the windows, okay? So it might be triggered by a theme in terms of the image, but it might not, okay? And again, you can notice the single element of the card. And if once, whatever you notice, immediately feel what that means to you and then animate it and see what happens with it, okay? But don't dismiss anything that you get because it's a gift. And it's a response from the universe for your invitation. Okay, so all that's on that list. And so I want you now to just kind of close your eyes and tune in with yourself. And even if you're the one being read, kind of center yourself. And so you readers can start with that list. 1, 2, 3, and there's an A and B with everyone except number 4.
Sharon?
Yes?
Could you please repeat the instructions for how you want us to read?
I want you to read this list. I want you to do psychometry. They're going to hand you a card. You're going to keep it face down. Mm-hmm. You're going to do the psychometry with touch. Then you're going to turn it over and touch it again and see what else you get through psychometry. Then you're going to go up to intuitive perceptions and you're going to look at the card. It's only going to be one single card and see what you get image-wise or idea-wise telepathically. Look at the card, close your eyes, and ask for a symbol or any kind of word or that type of thing. And then you're going to go, after you get that, you're going to go to part B, and you're going to note, after you close your eyes, then you look at the card and see which tiny little piece compels you, okay? And you're going to talk about, okay, I see a flower, again, as an example. There's a flowering in your life happening here, okay? Or I see a guy with a muddy foot. There's some, you know, you're feeling stuck in the mud, whatever, okay? And then you're also going to give that little detail animation. And it's going to tell a little bit more of a story. You can even close your eyes, take your mind off of the card, and just stick with the with that one little detail, get animated, bigger, change, that type of thing. Then when you're done with that, you're going to go down to the emotion, and you're going to talk about the feeling of the picture. Okay, this feels, you know, happy, I'm very excited, there's a celebration here, or whatever the picture tells you about feeling. Then you're going to hold the card to your heart and get an emotional telepathy of what it feels like. And then you're going to speak to the action. Pretend that the card you're looking at is a chapter in a book that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And when you do that, talk about that. Tell the story, okay? And all of those of you who are being read for, give feedback, okay? I see something flowering. Yes, I just planted a new garden, and it's just starting to flower now. Yes, I just created a new job search, and I'm really feeling excited about whatever it is. Give the feedback of what the images and symbols mean to you, okay? All right, now this is going to take a little while because these are 5 different things, all right? So I'm going to give you 10 to 12 minutes, maybe 15 minutes to do your reading, okay? Be descriptive. Talk about the feeling. Talk about the details. Talk about the action, all right? Okay, A, this side, you're reading first. Go.
On the devil, see somebody brace. You explain to them that it's not what you probably think it is.
Right.
You still see them bracing and resisting.
Right. Well, first of all, we get cards that are showing us the lessons that lie before us. and always tell everyone that the death card doesn't mean a literal death. In my experience, after just, you know, these many years of doing it, death card has meant a literal death probably about a half a dozen times, and every single time it's when it fell in the house of health. But there are dozens and dozens and hundreds of other times it fell in the house of health and it was the end of a job, because your sixth house is your daily work and your health and well-being, okay? Which makes sense. Sometimes astrology seems arbitrary, but if you don't have a sense of well-being in your work, how are you going to be well in your body? You know, they go together, right? So you want to tell people, you know, death card doesn't mean death. The tower card looks scary. It's a big transformation. Sometimes it can be hard and a little challenging to go through, but it always takes you to a broader space. You know, point out that, like in the tower card, point out that they're falling out of a tiny, itty bitty building. And there's a position or a situation that you're kind of trapped in. And you're getting untrapped from this. Yes, it might be a little challenging when you do get untrapped from it by going through that process. But point out the good stuff. What were the other ones? The Ten of Swords. The Ten of Swords, the Nine of Swords, the Eight of Swords. See, swords are really, you know, about the lower emotions, okay? So Ten of Swords is, and we'll talk about the swords in each one, but there's, you know, good stuff to find out about with each sword. And if you get the Ten of Swords in front of you, or the Eight of Swords, any card that indicates a karmic lesson for a client that shows they're embroiled in this lesson, or maybe even not yet learning the lesson, means that ultimately this card is going to come up upside down. And when this card comes up upside down, you're going to be feeling free of this defensiveness, free of this victimization. And you can actually start to do more work on it now to move this reversal into your life right now. So this card is up and you're feeling victimized, but don't define yourself through that victimization. And this is an opportunity. Use the word opportunity with any dark card, because any dark card is the opportunity to change the situation and get out of the dark. Otherwise, you're going to, you know, the dark card shows us where we have the opportunity to change, right? So anybody, any other questions? Lucinda.
My question comes when you're studying the card and then spirit comes through. And so you feel the presence of spirit. Are you supposed to then go back to the card more or less, or do you actually then?
You don't ignore spirit. That's why I wanted to do this the very first day, so that we can bring the intuitive, which is brought by spirit, to the card reading, and they really just go together. So if you get a spirit and you have an identifier of the spirit, talk about, okay, even as I'm looking at this card, I feel spirit's approach, I feel a grandmother, it feels as if, you know, she had the loss of the tip of her finger or whatever, or someone here did in the spirit world, she's giving me this message about this. And then you can stay with spirit a little bit, but also go back to the cards. I go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. You know, unless it's a half hour, sometimes I don't get to the cards. But even when I do get to the cards, I do go back to spirit. And I tell my clients, you know, just we've got a bunch of spirit people here. We're going to look at the cards, but that doesn't mean spirit people are going away. They're going to keep talking to us. So always defer to spirit. And if you get pulled into total mediumship, you can let yourself do that. But there's a reason that you place those cards there. So sometimes I even just try to get back 5 minutes before the end of a reading and point out the cards that seem important to me or that seem very impactful for the person.
The second piece of the question is, I'm not very experienced at all with tarot cards.
A lot of people here aren't. That's okay.
No, I understand that. But I found that the card that was pulled up is a lovely card, but my emotions and feelings and things that I'm hearing is very different from the card.
And that's okay. So that's one of the reasons why you get the emotion of the picture, but then you feel it here and get the emotion of what comes into you. So, well, give us an example so we can work with this.
So it was the Ten of Cups.
Okay.
I think it's a nice card.
Yes, it's a very nice card.
It's love, it's the home, it's mm-hmm. family. Mm-hmm. But I felt this tension, a lot of reflection as to did I make the right decision, and then I felt spirit come through, and so it was hard for me to see the really positive side of the card. Not that it was negative, that was what I was saying, but mm-hmm. it was just a very different sort of picture / emotion mm-hmm. that I was feeling from the card itself.
If you get a different emotion than the picture, for instance, that the Ten of Cups is a beautiful, lovely, happy, wonderful relationship. Okay? It's the Ten of the Cup suit. It's home, family, relationship, loveliness there. But you get this sense of dissatisfaction or, you know, disappointment or something like that. What did you
say? Tension.
Tension. Okay. Okay. Tension and reflection. So just because you're getting this wonderful happiness in the family, there could be, for the questioner, for the person you're giving the reading to, some other area of life that is not completely satisfied or that he has tension about. Now, does that make sense to you?
Well, what happened?
Sorry to be sharing your intimate life with the rest of them.
What happened was, about a year ago, we had to relocate because of my job. Uh-huh. So it's needless to say, it's been a very tense situation.
Okay. So yeah. So that family structure is still a happy one, but I mean, in terms of the relationship,
it created a lot of stress.
But stress underneath that, perhaps some dissatisfaction with even the building of the home itself, or
right.
you know, the layout of the home, or whatever. Right?
Now there's a possibility we might have to relocate again.
So you get to have
so
the tension
like
again.
We don't know. And it's just, yeah.
You're not going to find out under Mercury retrograde.
No.
Oh, good. Okay. So, yeah. So you see, it doesn't discount having a different emotion than what the card says. Doesn't mean that the card's wrong or that you're wrong. There are layers to people's emotional experience. And so certainly you would have tension around a move or a relocation or whatever have you, and still be having the very tight family regard that you have that's displayed in that card. So you read both of them and you say, this is a beautiful card of family, but I do have an underlying tension here. Is there some tension about the family, about the home? Don't forget, cups are also the home. About the children, or where's the underlying tension? There's a beautiful, solid ground here with the family, but there's an underlying tension. And you ask, because it's not your job to know how to apply what you're getting. It's your job to just give what you're getting, right? So does everybody see that? So that's why I said, if you get an emotion that's entirely different, or through psychometry that's entirely different than the card you turn over, don't think that you're wrong or the card's wrong. They can coexist in the exact same way.
Okay.
Right? Yes?
Just to share, when I did my reading, I got the judgment card, and then I did her reading, and we shuffled, and she got the judgment card, same position. And since I was doing both readings, but the card looked completely different when I pulled it for her. Than
mm-hmm.
when I pulled it for
so her. Your intuitive vision saw differences in the card.
Oh, definitely.
Even though it was the exact same card. And indeed, of course, it will. You can get the same card for a bunch of different people and be drawn to different details, different colors, different aspects of the card, different feelings of the card. And indeed, even feelings that don't belong to that card, but belong to your intuitive insight. Right? Any other questions? Okay, so what we're going to do is all of the bees are going to get up and move down one, and then the end one is going to come up here. Now, here's what I want you to do. This time I want you to have your partner can shuffle your cards if you want, or just draw three cards, not one, three cards. And you lay them out in front of you however you want to lay them out in front of you. And you put you determine which card you want to read first, middle, last, It's up to you. We haven't studied the time yet. I just want to see how you see and feel it. There's no wrong way you can do it, this guys. Okay? If you start face down, because we're going to do the psychometry, and you just talk about each one, okay? And this time, no premature endings. Okay, this we're going to do a little bit more time because you've got three cards, okay? But I will tell you when to change. So if you finish before I tell you when to change, you keep reading. You look at another detail in the card. You sense how they feel together. So, and do that. I want you to feel how the cards relate to each other, as well as see if there's a story. If you have three chapters, please. If you have three, if each card has a chapter in its own book, and each card has its own beginning, middle, and end, what are the three chapters saying? What are the three chapters? What are the order of the three chapters? How do they connect with each other? Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, yes.
Who lays out the three? Is the reader?
Well,
I'm B.
You're, okay, but not then this time you're sitting on this side, so now you're A. You changed from side of the table.
So okay, so I'm not reading
so
first.
She's reading first, okay? So you're going to use this side's, you're this person's cards, and you can give the cards to your partner. They can shuffle, don't take forever. So A, you're going to shuffle, and then you can cut the cards, and you can either take the top three cards or have, you can either take the top three cards or pick three cards out from a fan. However you want to do it, okay? But don't show them. B is going to take the cards from you when you're done shuffling and cutting, and they're going to either take the top three cards or fan it out in front of you and ask you to take three cards. However you want to do it, B, and however you want to do it, A, when you do it, okay? But take the cards face down, all right? Okay, go.
I'm on one.
Oh,
we really didn't
get to the second one. Okay. And indeed, when we go through that kind of list, yeah, you have to be shorter with the each one,
yeah,
because like I said, you couldn't do that whole list with all of the cards that you get in a reading, because by the end of this week, we're going to be doing readings with many cards. And so a touch in with this card, a touch in with that card, that kind of thing.
And I did it, I did it sort of one at a time. Maybe I should be a little more unilateral when I'm doing that.
She said she did it one at a time, and maybe she should be unilateral or bring them together. You will end up bringing them together, but they don't always necessarily. There is sometimes a causal experience with the cards, like cause and effect. This first card affects the next card, but that's not always the case. For instance, especially with three cards, you could be experiencing, okay, for instance, everybody, she got the Six of Swords reversed, the Justice card reversed, and the Queen of Swords reversed, okay? So so that could indicate travel, a broken contract, and the Queen of Swords is the woman of intention and power and purpose, and a sense of wondering or foundering or curiosity or confusion about what purpose you're holding next. Does that make any sense? Mm-hmm. There you go. So very quickly, those are three basic things, but probably three very different things. So they're not always a cause and effect connection, or not even always a thematic connection. They could, if you have different cards, they could be talking about different aspects of their life. Next time, I think you'll find it easier if you go faster.
Okay.
Okay? Okay. Any other questions? I'm holding my wires to me as I pass the chairs. Okay, and yes, Dan.
So where it's hard for me to see the minutia versus the bigger picture when there are three cards, because the three cards tell me a bigger story, it's hard for me to...
They do. The three cards can tell you a bigger story. Okay, but let's take a look at that. I want you to look at all those three cards and draw your compelling force to any one single thing. Just right now.
Well, this here right here, this empty space for the cup.
The space between the cup. Okay. All right. So that's one. So you obviously you got compelled to that before?
Yes.
Okay. So what's in the compelling thing in the next one? Just look at it really first.
Opposing forces.
Okay. All right. Okay. So each one does, each little detail does not necessarily inform the whole story of the other card. It just gives you another piece of information to talk about. certainly would inform the theme of that card, but not necessarily the other cards. So, but do pick out little details, because they can, just for the one little piece of information they can give you, you know, because you might just get a detail and offhand, I see, like, go back to the flower. I see a flower, all of a sudden I'm focusing on the flower. And it could literally be, you know, I just called the gardener on the lunch break to come in and plant snapdragons. Literally, it could be only that, okay? But do take time to get the itty little bits. The little bits may not expand the big bits, but don't let that prevent you from getting the little bits, right? Any other questions? Okay, all right. So now we're going to switch sides. And A is going to read. So A, you do the shuffling. And Joanne, I'll call you for, no, you can start, because she hasn't gotten B. Major Arcana, speak to the feeling of it. Hold it at your heart. Speak to how the card feels. Speak to any of the tiny, minutest little detail that you get compelled by your intuition, okay? Are there any specific questions whatsoever? Again, not a curious group here. Okay, you have homework. You have to do three readings. Three card readings. Find somebody and give them three card readings. Not one person. Find three different people if you can. If you don't, if you're isolated and don't have any friends and don't have any acquaintances here, this is a call to you to expand your social milieu. The three card one, yes, okay? And just trust your intuition and speak to the story in the card and notice the detail, but not just the singleness of the detail, but where the detail is in the card, how it's being treated in the card, everything. Just like we talked about with that, when the devil was holding the fire down at his side and down, you know, there's action and speed that's down below or, you know, on the down low or on the side. That's all part of it. So look for those little clues and speak to everything that you're seeing in the card. Anybody having a challenging time or indeed even a bad time with this? You can say so. Challenging? That's good. It's good to challenge ourselves, but what's the nature of your challenge? You're remembering getting the meanings of the cards or some of the things that we had here? Lack of confidence. Okay. All right. That's the challenge for all of us every time we do any kind of reading. Stay in your right brain. You give your imagination the job and know that God lives inside you. And God would never tell a lie. Okay? So just say what comes to mind. And because that's that voice that you have. Trust everything. Okay? All right. So, and the more you practice, then the more you get, oh my God, that's right, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You're going to find that it really is going to hit home for people. And if it doesn't hit home for people, don't forget, they might not know about it yet. So you say, remember that we got this, because they might not be in your awareness yet. Okay? So our agenda for tomorrow says that we're going to do the swords, but actually since we handed out the yin cards, we're going to do the cups. Because we've done the pentacles today, we'll do the other yin suit, and then the other 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, we'll do the yang suits, okay? So when after you do your three readings today, put your cups in order of ace to king, because that's what we'll go through tomorrow when we study the cups, okay? And then we'll be all ready, all right? Any last question, any concern, anything at all? Okay, everybody, three readings. Three readings. Find somebody to read for. Okay. Oh, and everybody, if you can, everybody wait. If you have a choice, read for people, if you have the opportunity, read for people not in this class, because you're going to be reading for people in this class all week. And I'd rather you try to find, but if you don't know anyone else here, then read for people in the class, but try to find someone outside of the class.